nothing is as bad as it seems. You know, so nothing is as bad as it seems. It never is. Even though in your head and what you think is the ultimate fire that you will never get over, it isn't as bad as it seems, you know, and everything works out all of the time, you know. So that's something that I believe strongly. Even now when just everything is falling apart, I'm just like, you know what, it's not as bad as it seems, you know. It's only window cleaning. it's not the end of the world.
How are you? Welcome to the Entrepreneur Experiment podcast with me, Gary Fox. Today, my guest is Luke Joyce, the founder of The Cleaning Company. He's building a multi-million euro business from washing your windows. Here's my chat with Luke. Going green, becoming more sustainable, it's everywhere, right? Everyone wants to be greener and do their bit to help. But sometimes, for your business, there are more important things to do. It's hard to find the time. Well, take it out of your hands because it's all in a day's work for your local enterprise office. They have the time and the experts to sort it for you. And the best bit is, it'll help your business, save you time, money, and energy. Perfect, right? The Green for Business audit will assess your business and tell you where you can make changes. And the new energy efficiency grant will help you pay for those changes. And your local enterprise office will sort the whole process for you. Go to www.allinadayswork.ie/green. Fill out the form that takes less than 2 minutes and your local enterprise office will take it from there. Going green? It's all in a day's work for your local enterprise office. Before we dive into today's episode, I want to share a game changer for your business, Azure Communications. When it comes to print and marketing solutions, these folks, led by CEO Jenny Johnston, are the real deal. Whether you need an eye-catching brochure, sleek business cards, or a full-blown digital campaign, Azure Communications has you covered. They're not just about high-quality prints or digital campaigns. They're also about delivering great results. And here's the best part. Just for listeners of the Entrepreneur Experiment, you can get 20% off your first order. Just give them a call or go online and use the code VOX20. With personalized service and fast turnaround times, Azure Communications will help you make the impact your business deserves. Trust me, when it comes to making your brand stand out, Azure Communications is the provider of choice. Check them out at azurecom.ie. Use code FOX20 and elevate your marketing game today. Many of you listening to the pod are business owners and savvy investors, but have you been introduced to peer-to-peer lending? Peer-to-peer lending is the practice of lending money directly to other individuals or businesses without the need for a traditional intermediary like a bank. Property Bridges offers you the opportunity to lend directly to experienced home builders across Ireland through their innovative online investment platform. Investors earn returns of up to 9% per annum, and your money is fully secured against property. To learn more, visit propertybridges.com. Property Bridges is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland. Luke, welcome to the pod.
Thanks for having me.
We've had a pod within a pod already. Discovered all our likes and dislikes. We just had Nadia from Ashford Motors in, and we actually kind of were talking about that at the end. It was like, do you ever watch the Overlap podcast or Stick to Football with Gary Neville?
No, I've seen clips of it, but I've never seen it.
So basically what they do is they start recording the minute they walk in.
Right.
So Gary will generally walk in first and he'll be sitting down and he'll be getting his mic on, but they're recording everything.
That's a great idea. Yeah.
And now there's six of them or five of them, so they'll be coming in and it's in like this, like the set is like a bar or a restaurant and they're all sitting around this big table and like there's cups of tea coming out and croissants and cake and they're chatting away and like, This week's one, like they were chatting for like half an hour and I was glued to it. And they're
before they actually got going.
Like, yeah. And Gary's like, right, we'll start the podcast. And they were like, we've done a half an hour, Gary. You're not making us work another hour. And they were like having the crack. But like, it's like, you feel like you're in this kind of like in the room with them.
Yeah.
You feel like, because I've grown up watching them and you kind of feel like you're just sitting there having the chat.
Is that the one that Roy Keane has been? Yeah. I've seen a few clips. It's very good. Oh, yeah.
It's brilliant.
Yeah. We should have done that outside.
Do you know what? That's a sneak preview. I think that's what I'll do from next season because me and Ben are always brainstorming about, right, how do we make it better and change? I think that could be it.
Yeah.
It's like we just come in,
get the whole
start chatting and just then we get going. Now, it won't work at everyone because everyone's different, right? Some people are kind of like on edge or whatever. That's why I kind of have the coffee and stuff for people to kind of make it kind of a bit more natural because it's a weird one, right?
Yeah.
We're sitting here. It's camera there, big lights. You know, it's a strange setup.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm looking forward to this. I've been looking forward to the last few weeks.
Class. It's great to have you on.
Yeah, no, thanks a million.
You've been blessed by the queen of entrepreneurship, Áine Kennedy. Yeah, she reached down from above, Vogue, and was like, you were the chosen one, Luke.
Yeah, I couldn't believe she had met, because I didn't hear that podcast. I seen the clip, sorry, but I didn't listen to it. I should have, but I didn't. But
not meant to say that, Luke.
Yeah, I know.
Cut.
No, I've listened to it since, but then I listened to it properly and I heard that bit at the end where she mentioned me as the, what was it? It was a million euros.
€1 million. Yeah.
So I was like, oh, geez, that's mad. So then when she reached
out. Did you get it?
The €1 million? Yeah. No, I'm still waiting on it.
Okay, on you.
Yeah. I think she's her new HQ coming up or something. So now
she's blown it on that. Yeah. Blown on a new fancy office.
The smooth. She was actually talking about the HQ on your podcast that she wanted to get something like that. And I think she's very close to doing that now.
Yeah, she was teasing it on social yesterday. Big things coming. Yeah, yeah. And I was like, come on.
I think it's been announced soon.
She's class.
She's brilliant.
She's amazing. Like, her growth trajectory is just class. And she's the one you can look at and go, yeah.
Yeah.
Because she's sound, an absolute grafter, super creative, and just knows what she wants to do, but is doing it in a very organic, natural way. Too many people are like, try be organic and try be like, oh, look.
Yeah.
Whereas she's genuinely the real deal.
Yeah, Áine's a legend. Like, I went to college with Áine in entrepreneurship in Maynooth.
I said to her this morning, I was like, what should I ask Luke? And she goes, ask him who his favorite college friend was. And if he doesn't say me, edit it out.
Yeah. Yeah. So, we get on well in college because she's just, like, the good thing about, or the thing I love about Áine is that what you see online is her. Do you know what I mean? There's no difference at all. She doesn't put on any sort of persona or talk in a different way, nothing. Yeah. And I know so many people I know personally, and I'm looking at them online, and I'm like, that's not you. Like,
happens to me on this. You get people on, you're like, oh, that's all there is.
Yeah.
There's nothing else. Yeah. There's this character. And then when you're out of character, you're absolutely no crack.
Yeah. Whereas Áine is just as authentic online as she is off, you know? So that's why I think she's great. And they're doing some serious, serious stuff. Like,
she'll go all the way.
Yeah. It's massive. Like, and the people, like, I'm not in tune with beauty products or the beauty industry at all, but
you definitely use the smooth stick on that beard.
Yeah,
that's the dapper stick. Right there. Yeah, the dapper stick.
That's for these brows. but the celebrities that are using the product and stuff, it's brilliant. Like, it's deadly. It's just such a cool, the brand and everything. Yeah, I think it's going to be, it already is huge. But
it's one of those things you kind of go, it's part art, part science. You're like, it has all the core ingredients, but then it has that little extra.
Yeah,
that,
the branding is brilliant. I think that's probably was big in college. We were doing brand and all that sort of stuff, and she was always interested in that, as was I. That was the cool part, do you know what I mean, the fun kind of part of it. Obviously just the whole slog that goes on in the background, but that's the finished product is cool. Like, so, and the name and everything just works. Yeah,
it's funny, isn't it? Like, it just works.
Yeah.
And it's those intangible 20% that settles the good businesses from the great businesses.
Yeah,
it's that intangible. It's like when you go somewhere really nice and you're like, this just feels good.
Yeah.
You can't probably say what it is because there's probably loads of things. It's probably the service. It's probably the decor. It's probably like the way it's lit and the music and the smell. Yeah. It's probably loads of things. It's like that with business. So she did the smooth stick and you did?
The cleaning company. Yeah. So she's the
very
smooth
similar
company.
Yeah.
We're just cleaning company.
Okay. I see your branding lecture was very creative. Yeah. I see.
Get company in there. Like, yeah.
The and company.
So yeah, we're the cleaning company.ie. She's the smooth company. So we've loads in common.
So talk to me about that. How did you set up that? Because I was excited about you coming in because I like real businesses. Mm. I think people will find that a weird thing to say, but like, this is a big trend towards like sweaty startups, just real businesses.
Yeah.
People doing things who like, you know, buy it for X, sell it for Y. You know, do a service for X, sell it for Y. Real stuff that people get. So what do you do?
Yeah, it's as simple as it gets. It's window cleaning on a regular basis. So it's, obviously we do a whole lot of other stuff, gutters, all that sort of thing, and power washing, but our bread and butter is a subscription-based window cleaning company. So it's, and just kind of picking up on something you said there about, you know, people always have to have this, and you said outside as well, they have to have the next big tech thing and all that sort of, and it was the same in college, and any group assignment you were given, it would always be, oh, let's do a Just Eat app, but make it better, you know, or
when someone
the
says
next
to me,
Netflix, and
it's going to be an app, I'm like, oh
yeah, just kill me, like,
spare
so
me.
There was all that stuff, and every group project got into, you would be doing another app, because, and it was an app to tell you how many seats were taken in the library in college, and I'm just like, that won't work. So then I was just like, I'm gonna do window cleaning, because it was just simple, it was easy, kept hearing there was a lack of reliable window cleaners. And I remember the time I was like, how is there a lack? Like, it's, it couldn't be any easier as a kind of service to learn and stuff. So that's kind of what sparked it. And then I suppose during college, I was working on it. And the more I worked on it and the more I looked into the industry, the more I thought this is, there's something here, you know? So I kind of used.
How did you stumble across it? Because I think exactly what you said there, a lot of people would be like, oh, I'm going to do an app and da, 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 da. You hear all this terrible advice. Oh, don't do things that don't scale. Don't do this. Don't do that. And people are like avoiding all the real businesses that have been around for like decades.
Yeah.
And that are profitable and that are easy. People are always going for the hard route.
Yeah.
Like Munger and Buffett talk about like the hard pile and the easy pile. If it's in the hard pile, they just don't touch it. If it's in the easy pile, they'll then explore it. So how did you start exploring the, that area?
Yeah. So I suppose I was looking for something to do part-time. Like I got a job in a pharmaceutical company in a warehouse when I was about 17, and I lasted, I think, a month.
Sounds exciting.
Yeah. it was the worst job of all time. For me, it was just...
You need that, though.
Yeah.
You need shit.
That knocked the bollocks out of me. I was like, I never, ever want to do anything like that again. Like, it was just, like, picking up and dropping. That was all you're doing, is moving, like, boxes of pills around for 8 hours.
Yeah. A robot stuff.
And they had robots, but we were doing this for some reason. So
slightly smarter robots. Yeah. Or slightly dumber. I don't know.
Yeah. So
what will the robots refuse to do?
Yeah, they're on strikes and brought us in. So it lasted like a month. That's the only job I ever had. You know, that sort of, I call it just, you said, a normal job.
It's worth it though, like, because you have to know what you don't want.
Yeah, and that's what my dad said at the time. He was like, well, at least you know now what you don't want to do, 100%. You know. So then I just thought I need to earn a bit of extra cash somehow, because I was in college at the time. So I kind of thought window cleaning. Again, it was just coming from, I'd heard a few times there was no window cleaners. And my mom at the time was looking for a window cleaner in Raccoon and I couldn't get one. And she'd got two guys and they arrived late, if they arrived at all. There was this big clunky process. And whatever just went off my head, I was like, why is that so hard to do?
So broken.
And I remember Googling for my mom, window cleaners, Dublin. And all the websites back then were like ancient, like the original kind of web 1.0 type websites.
There still are a lot of them.
Yeah, yeah. Like, and it's like you'd click on a button and nothing would happen. And it's just like this placeholder website. And I was like, this is mad.
Like, or you call and it's like, hello?
Yeah, yeah. Like, who's this? That's sort of like,
I'm sorry to disturb you.
And he's supposed to come around to clean your windows. Like.
I know.
So it was all this going on. I remember just thinking, that's wild. Like, so I was like, I'll just start doing it. So I cleaned my mom's windows. And I went out, bought, it was kind of €50 worth of equipment. So it was a bucket, a squeegee from Pat and Nolene out of a house in Tala. They were sold equipment. They're still there.
Nolene. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. So they sold out of Tower Enterprise. They're still there in Old Bond. They sell equipment from their garage. So I bought like €50 worth of equipment, borrowed a ladder and just went out.
Love that.
Watched a load of YouTube videos. Went out later that day and did. Went out later that day and did cleans for friends of mine.
Class.
An absolute bollocks of it, and then kind of learned how to do it properly. So
I'm addicted. My secret addiction is watching YouTube of like gardeners.
Yeah, it's very cleaners, satisfying.
Builders. I just love watching it.
Yeah.
Just watching them do it. Like, I burst my eardrum in May, so I literally had to stay on the couch for like 2 days, and all I watched was that.
Yeah, it's satisfying. Like, it's nice work.
People doing gardenings, like, I reckon I could have a crack at our patio. By the end of the second day, I was redesigning the patio going, I reckon I could lay that. Yeah. I've watched about 5 hours of YouTube. I reckon I could be laying patio now.
Yeah, so that was me. I just watched a load of videos on YouTube about how to clean windows and just went out at it. And I suppose at the same time, I was in college and it was, again, I was looking at all these websites and all the different companies that were there. And I think the max I could find of another window cleaning company was kind of two vans, you know, or three vans. And if they had three vans, they were huge.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, like, how is there not loads? Like, I was looking at like pest control companies like Rentokil, drain cleaning companies like Dynarod or all them sort of ones. And there was all these different industries had big companies and big stuff and big trucks. And there was nothing like that for window cleaning.
Why?
I have absolutely no idea. It was just no one, it's like no one had picked up on it. It was so fragmented. It was like one man and his van and you'd never grow any more than that. And I say window cleaning companies, like there's obviously big facilities management companies like Noonan's.
Yeah, that's different though.
And they happen to also clean windows. Yeah, I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about window gutter cleaning companies. I've no idea why. I don't know. It was just weird. So I just picked up on that and I just thought there's something to be, you know, had here. So it kind of worked in college on the group assignments that were apps. I was then making everyone work on my window cleaning project. So for like, we did like a thesis for the final year, and we did a window cleaning company. And the lads still said to me, slagging me, there was four of us. And they were like, we gave you that idea. Cause like, you know, they were helping me with putting it all together. Like,
but that's the way to do it. Like, yeah. I always say to people, I do some work with students, and I always say to them, like, try working something you care about.
Yeah.
Don't just do a fucking project just for the sake of doing it. Sometimes you have to, right? But I was like, and I always start, it takes ages, but I always start the class and go around and go, right, what are you doing? What are you into? You working on an idea, or are you just studying for the crack of studying?
Yeah.
And the difference between people who care and actually want to pursue an idea, I was like, you have a year now. During the course of a year, 9 months, whatever. A lot gets done in a year if you use this time to focus your efforts. And I was like, you probably will change it 3-4 times over the course of the year, and that's okay. But if you start now, you'll be so much far ahead of you. Like, you've so much resources when you're in college.
Yeah.
Students definitely, it's not their fault. I think they need to be challenged better to go, look, you have everything behind you. You have all these resources of a massive company, essentially, which is the college. And you've protection.
Yeah.
Anyone will talk to a student. Like, keep saying this to people, like, go out and talk to people.
That's very, very true.
Go out and talk to businesses.
Yeah. They don't feel you're a threat at all.
No, they'll tell you everything. The good ones will. And like, everyone will talk to a student because everyone's either been there, or their son is there, or their daughter is there, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, it's an incredible time to start a business.
Yeah, for sure. And that's very true, is that you'll, like, if I was to ring up a company now and say, hey, we can have a meeting, I want to ask you all your secrets. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Your process.
Like, whereas back then, I was, like, one of our lecturers was on the board of directors for a huge facilities management company. And he picked up on our idea. He was like, this is great. I'll put you in touch with the managing director of this company. Went and met with him, and had 100 questions. He answered absolutely every one of them. If I went there now, he'd be telling me nothing.
Well, like, you'd learn more in that hour than you will in a year of studying books online, studying, looking at stuff. You'll learn more from one-to-one in an hour than you will in
And the stuff he said to me, I still base things off. Like, he kind of, certain things he said to me was like, he had big tenders for, like, Dublin City Council would give them the tender for certain things. And he told me stuff on, you know, how to keep that relationship going and making sure you're doing, because they're all 5-year contracts and stuff like that. And I'm literally doing that now. And that was, like, I'm 27 now, would have been, what are you, 18, 19? So nearly 10 years ago. And I'm only now it's coming into, as like, he said that to me 10 years ago. Do you know what I mean? It's mad how it works.
Stuff is timeless. Good advice is timeless.
100%. And he's in the game years.
Exactly.
Like,
he has seen it all. And like, sometimes you can reinvent the wheel.
Yeah.
Entrepreneurs always try to reinvent the wheel. Oh, I'm going to do it totally differently. And you have to add a bit of secret sauce. You've done it with the subscription, which I think is genius.
Yeah.
But too often, try reinvent the wheel. Try to create an app for window cleaning. And then I'm going to source window cleaners. And I'm going to, you're like, maybe you should start doing the windows yourself.
Yeah.
Like, too often it's overthought.
Yeah, for
just
sure.
Try, cram, square peg, round hole. So you started working on it in college, started doing it yourself, kind of like part-time. Mm. How did you grow it then?
So plan was always to, once I finished college, go hard at it, you know, go kind of full-time at it. I then had an injury in, would have been 2018. I was in a bad car accident and my back kind of, one of the vertebrae went over on the other, and I'd surgery my back and my shoulder and stuff. So that put me like kind of out of that work. So it was, that was a kind of really, I didn't know what was happening, because I graduated then. And so the injury went on for years, but I graduated then in 2019. And I was at the stage where I couldn't go full time myself.
Right.
Because I wasn't able to. So I kind of was then going interviewing for jobs and was thinking I'm just giving up on it, because it was the physical element of it. And it was in the very, very, very early stages of the business that, it's not like I could start taking loads of people on. And I kind of went for interviews and stuff. And then I just thought, no, you know what? I'm going to go after it. You know, it worked for a good few years building it up. So I had to start hiring people. So that was a weird time, because I was part-time driving around in, I had a Toyota Yaris, but that got crushed in the accident with all the equipment. So I had to get then a Peugeot 206. So I was driving the Peugeot around with a ladder in it. And then I bought a little.
Was the ladder just like hanging out the back? No, like on the roof?
I could only get a foldy ladder. So folded in and slid. I couldn't have any passengers because it was in like this. Like, it was clammy stuff. Like, say people were looking at me like this.
But that's the real stuff.
Yeah, just proper grass. And going around knocking on doors, just out every day, like my life depended on. I don't know where I got the, I just was out, like, thinking back now, I was just grafting. Like, so eventually then got enough money to get a little Jeep. So I got like a 2-seater Jeep with a bit of space in the back and hired guys. But I was only, fresh out of college, like young, early 20s, no idea about management, anything like that. So I hired these guys to kind of do the work. So I was pulling up in the Jeep. They'd hop out. I was too young to get van insurance, so I'd have to drive them to the job. They'd hop out, do the job, hop back in, we drive to the next one.
No way.
So I did that for a while, yeah. So it was this very clunky, like I'd love to say it just went like this. It didn't. It was a disaster.
But all the real ones are, and this is why I love chatting to people like you, because these are real stories. Too often people glamorize it and they tell me the story at the end. That's why I like picking rising stars, like because it's right in the middle.
Yeah.
Like you're right in the middle of it there. Too often people kind of look back and they'll tell me the initial, oh, I was in college and blah, blah, blah. And then shoom, this magic, we flash forward 10 years and you're like, all right. And that's useless because it's the people listening that are going, oh, I'm on my own now. I wonder how I can get to two. Like the one to two is huge. That step from one person to two people is the biggest gulf you'll ever cross. So you hired these guys, you were driving them around. How did you make that work financially?
I actually have absolutely no idea. Like, I don't, like, it was like the profits were just not there. Like, even looking back in my accounts, I made next to nothing. Like, I was living like a monk. Do you know, I was kind of like, I remember I was told to pay yourself a wage every week, get used to doing that. Yeah. And I was like, how can I pay myself a wage? I could barely pay this dude. Like, so it kind of, I think my first wage I was paying myself was 50 quid a week. So I'd send 50 quid to myself. Like, I was just,
it's the best feeling though.
Yeah.
It's the best feeling when you pay that first few quid.
Yeah. So then it was kind of 50, then it was 100, then it was 200, then it was, it's kind of gone up like that. But I was, it was tough going, but I kind of just built up. And then eventually was able to buy the first van, which was 2019. And then kind of got to the stage then where we were busy enough that I could take someone on full time in 2020. So it kind of, I always see like the business started in 2020 because before that was, it was just a mess.
Without the mess, you don't get the business.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the bit that people don't talk about. And the people, that's why I love doing these really long form podcasts, because that's the bit people don't talk about. And that's why more people don't start businesses because they look at you and go, I sure, Luke's got like a load of people working for him. He's got vans, as if it just appeared from heaven. Whereas it's the messy stuff is the real stuff. When I started doing property management, I was dry. What was it? I'm struggling to remember now. It was a really small van. I bought a commercial van and my keys were in a biscuit box. I have no problem saying that. They were in a biscuit box. I got one set of keys and they're in my pocket. Then I got two sets of keys. They're in my pocket. Then I got three, four, five. And then the pocket was like that. And then I was like, oh, okay, I'll get a biscuit box. And I had that biscuit box and it was the most crushed, crumpled thing. And then I was like, Jesus, I better actually get a proper system here. But without that, you don't go from that to that. I think that's the bit people miss, is that like they see you and they forget the 0 to 1. Zero to one is like 2 miles wide and then 1 to 10 is like half a meter wide.
Yeah.
It's that initial bit, like.
Yeah. And there's so many times where, like, thinking back, the amount of conversations I had with likes me dad and stuff where I was just like, I may as well just pack it in. Do you know, that was for kind of 2 years. I couldn't see how I was going to get out of it. Do you know what I mean? But my injury with hiring, like I was in my 20s, I was hiring guys in their 50s to do the work. I had no idea how to train. They weren't doing the right job. You know, it felt like everyone was kind of just caving in constantly. And then even when kind of went full time, the first guy I hired to kind of trust to go out on his own was a friend of mine, Andy. Like, I had no experience whatsoever and even scheduling work. Like, I'd have my little diary and it's just every little thing that you've done, you then have to pass over to someone else. And the company was so young that there was all these struggles, you know, and it was very, very, very difficult. And I often think back to when I was doing them interviews for the year, like I'd been offered good jobs and stuff and whatever it was, you're just like, no, I'm not going to do it. And I could have been on whatever 40, 50 grand a year in here, just doing a nice 9 to 5, or I could be earning literally nothing or losing money doing this and whatever possessed me to choose this.
It's mental, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, it's a sickness.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an absolute sickness. Like, I think about this quite a lot because, like, as you go through your career, like, God, Jesus. Someone asked me to tell me, I went for dinner with a friend of mine last week and we kind of know each other, but not really well. And he's like, what's your story anyway? And I was like, oh, Christ. Trying to go back to tell your life story, and then did this job, then this business, then that didn't work out, then I did this business. I was like, I've lost track myself of where the journey has begun and ended because it's all just like melded into this. Yeah. Like, but like, you end up where you want to end up.
Yeah.
Whereas if you just kind of veer off into the comfort zone, I could never do it.
Yeah.
I could never do it.
That was kind of it. Like, it was, that would have been nice and comfortable, and I'm sure it would have done grand, but it was just the other. I just chose 3 years of hell instead. But
why? Why'd you choose it?
I suppose since I was that height, I knew I wanted to do my own thing. It was always this kind of burning desire inside me, you know, to just do. I always thought I could do more and wanted to, you know.
Where's that come from?
I don't know. I think my dad would be a big influence on me. He was an entrepreneur, grew up on a farm. So I was well used to hard work. And I suppose I knew I had a really good work ethic. I knew I could outwork anybody else.
You knew
else.
What work looked like.
Yeah. I knew.
I say this all the time. You have to see it to be it.
Yeah.
I think if you can see it, you can be it. I think in Ireland, that's why I do this podcast as well, is that we don't see it enough.
Mm.
We see kind of the end product, or we see them in the paper, and it's all very snooty and all very kind of unrealistic. But I think if people can see you and go, I went to school with Luke, or I know Luke. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
Then, you know, we always put people on pedestals.
Yeah.
We always go, oh my God, look. Yeah. Luke's got this big business now. And, oh, okay. And they shrug the shoulders and walk away. Whereas like more people need to kind of hear your story and hear other people's stories to go, I could have a crack at that.
It's all doable, 100%, yeah.
And if you're not lucky enough to have a dad or a mom or a sister or a brother, I think the internet now is the place where you can turn and go, okay,
yeah.
I can see how that could happen. Like, it's interesting though, like the family connection is just 9 times out of 10, there's someone there.
Yeah.
Be it a brother, sister, father, mother, whoever has been an entrepreneur.
Yeah. And I suppose that was kind of what I grew up around. And like, my dad would have worked multiple jobs when I was kind of growing up and did loads. He ran the farm. He had a storage, like a self-storage company. He also did a paper round in the morning.
No way.
He used to, like, we used to breed cattle and sheep, like, so that he'd be lambing at 3 in the morning, and then he'd have his paper round at 5 in the morning.
Jesus.
And then he'd do his paper round. Then he'd come back, he'd drop us to school. He'd come back, he'd work on the farm all day. He'd pick us up from school. He'd go back to the storage business. He'd drop us to football training. I don't know how.
That's proper graft.
Yeah, he's a graft. He still is. Like, going to be up in the office. The office is up on the farm, like, and or it's like a kind of part of the cabin thing. And I will be working at, say, 9 o'clock at night. And I'm thinking, like, what am I doing here? And next thing I hear, the tractor going by. He's in his 60s and he's been out since 6 in the morning.
He's looking at you going, half day?
Yeah. Yeah. Or if I'm on a Sunday, I might be up and like, I think I'm fucking great on a Sunday getting a bit of work done, and the quad flies by and I'm like, that fucker again, it working like so.
But that's the real thing. And the internet as well has kind of like bastardized that in terms of like this hustle bro culture. No, that's been hijacked. Like the proper grafters like your dad, like they're not boasting about it.
And he would never, like he doesn't talk, exactly that. It's not, you don't have to get up and do 10 videos about how you grind it all day. You just get up and do it, you know? And they're the kind of ones that, they're the real grafters, is you just get up and you just do it. It's just part of you that you know you have to get up, you know.
Were you ever tempted to go into farming?
Yeah, for sure. Growing up on the farm, every summer was spent working there. And, you know, it was, when I was growing up, I was going to be a farmer. You know, every Christmas I got a farm set. You know, that was what you do. You go out, you're in the tractor with my dad all day, you're drawing in silage. Like, that's what you do. But he's, like, we're Dublin farmers, you know, I don't sound like a farmer, but we are. So we're different that it's not, you know, we're, the bottom of my road is Jobstown and Talla. Like, so we're 2 minutes up. When you're up there, you think you're in Mayo, but you're on Talla Hill. Like, so
that's the mad thing about Dublin. Like,
yeah.
And I think we don't appreciate it because obviously we live here. So when you understand it, like, but like, no matter where you are in Dublin, you can kind of just like look up. And you can just see mountains and fields. But even the M50, I never lose the joy of it where you're driving on the M50 and just like farms to your right.
Yeah.
Like no city in the world has that.
Yeah. So that's kind of, it's an unusual, it's weird.
Mad, like, mix.
Yeah. And I went to school then and beside Bonnog and Clondalk, and like, so you've this, like, you know, like I'm.
You'd have foot in both worlds.
Yeah. And which is great. And then you kind of go to like we'd be like, my dad be like a Dublin mountain man. He was born there. I was born there. It's like, we're like a dying breed of just grafters, you know, and kind of like my granddad, he would have came from Mayo, bought the farm there. He lived till he was 99 and he was out at 98 years of age. He'd be out digging holes, planting trees, like just instilled.
That's why he lived that age though.
Yeah. 100%.
That graft. But that, just that ethic of being busy and having a purpose. Like, just all these studies coming out now, having a purpose, one of the biggest indicators of longevity.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing beyond just day to day? Like, what's your purpose? What are you?
He had his garden. Like, he had his, Like my granddad owned the farm, and then he had a smaller part of the farm. And then as he got older, it got smaller and smaller. My dad would have kind of taken it over. And eventually then he was like, he could barely walk, but he'd be out at 98 in his little allotment planting. And he'd know that, you know, the onions are due up in a few weeks. I better plant this. Yeah. I better do that. So that was his purpose, was to go out.
Always moving forward.
Yeah.
Like, as I've got older, I've kind of realized life is like seasons.
Yeah.
You kind of have to think, you can't be like sprinting 12 months of the year. Like, you have to like work like a farmer. Yeah. Essentially, ironically, I was watching Clarkson's Farm and I kind of had this like realization of like, more people need to work like farmers and kind of think of in terms of seasons, because too many people like bust their balls for like 9 months of the year and then they just keel over.
Yeah.
Whereas you need to be like reaping, harvesting, sowing. You need to be doing more.
Like,
you can't just be doing the same thing over and over and over, because then you just burn out.
Yeah.
So you need to be a little bit more strategic. So I think the analogy of life and seasons is huge.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's kind of what and I fully agree with you there, is that that's what kept him going, because he was, you know, and then we'd be down and he'd have something. He was like, I better give that to like, my name when I went down was Mark, Stephen, John, Brian, Luke. You know, he wouldn't even know your name because he was that old. Like, but he'd know who you are and he'd give you a big thing of scallions or something and he'd have it there for you. So that was what kept his brain going.
Yeah.
And then he eventually just, he was 99, like he was not good on his feet, he kept falling and stuff. So he went into a nursing home, and within a month or two, his mind just went completely, like literally like that. And he was, not perfect, but he was like well within his wits before that. But it's like his brain just, he didn't have to tend to his garden. He didn't have to put the stew on. He then just went in this, and within, I think it was like 1 to 2 months, his brain was just gone.
We're not designed like that.
No.
And I think I have a real problem with retirement. Yeah. I have a real issue with people when I retire. I'm like, oh, be careful what you wish for now, because like, what are you going to do when you retire? Oh, it'd be great. I love all this free time. To do what?
Watch
telly? Yeah. Sit in your hole? Like, it's like when people are like, oh, if I won the lotto, I'd do this. So me and my wife always had that debate every time. Like every Wednesday, Saturday, Friday, we do it. And I more do it just for the mental thought of it, going, okay, it's 6 million, what would you do? And we have the same conversation, and then we pair it back to go, how can we do this today? Yeah. And we always bring it back to today and go, how can you have a really rich life today? Because you don't really need the money.
Yeah.
You need the thought of what you're going to do today, because people think the delayed gratification, oh, when I'm 65,
yeah,
oh my God, Jesus Christ, can't think of anything worse.
If you even make it to 65.
But like, I've seen it so many times, and I've seen people retire, and they'll have had really high power jobs, and they'll have had really important jobs, super smart, and the decline is visible. They're cranky, off it, they just get stuck in the mud, talking about the same crap all the time, talking about stupid stuff that doesn't, become obsessed with current events because there's nothing.
Yeah, there's nothing else going
on. Oh, have you heard about this thing? I'm like, nope.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you. I don't listen to the radio. Yeah. I don't listen. Mainstream media, I read the papers on a Saturday, Sunday, just to keep myself tune in to what's going on. Yeah. Rest of the week.
Yeah, I'm the same.
Couldn't tell you. Because I don't care. I don't care. Unless I can do something about it, I'm not about it. I don't care. I move on. I have enough stuff going on myself. You have enough stuff trying to find purpose in your own life without getting involved in other stuff that you've no control over.
Yeah, yeah. No, I fully agree. Like, that's why I don't think I'd ever retire. I definitely slow down. Yeah, but I think
something
I always
else.
Need to have something going
evolve.
On.
Evolve into something.
Go back and buy a farm or do
exactly
something. Do you know, you'd have to do something, a little bar, or like, I think I'd, you know, if I was to down the way, you've made your millions and then you'd have to stay in the game somehow. 100%. You know, even my dad is kind of like, he's still like out grafting, but he's, compared to what he used to do, he's not doing, like, he's getting away on his motorbike and he's in kind of semi-retirement, even though if someone was to look at him, like, this fella's working the whole time. But it's what I knew of him growing up, he's much, much slower than he was, and he's enjoying more, and he's able to come out, like, he'd be asking us to go for something to eat and more of that stuff. Do you know what I mean?
But you can do more of that now. Yeah. I think you don't have to sacrifice
to
the end now. I think if you're deliberate and you live life with intention, you don't just stumble through. Too many people stumble through and live life dictated by others.
Yeah.
Oh, I go on holidays these 2 weeks of the year. Oh, I do this. I do. You're like, do you have to though? Or are you just doing what everyone else does? Because that's what everyone else does. And you don't want to like break from the norm.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's me dad and me kind of background. So that was kind of where a lot of my work ethic came from then, you know, and kind
is
of,
that what kept you going for those 2 years where you're really just barely keeping the lights on.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's just kind of back to your kind of original questions. Why? I suppose it was just that I knew that was what I was going to do, and I wasn't going to give up. You know, I kind of, like, as you say, I feel I'm probably built a little bit different than that. I'll just keep going, you know. And even like I was thinking back, I planted 1,000. Remember, I was telling you about the Christmas trees, yeah. And it just came back to me was that I had a broken hand. So I had my hand was broken. I had a cast on.
You're hard on the body, aren't you?
Yeah.
So how would you break the hand?
It was a skiing accident. So my
hand in the Dublin Mountains,
like this. No, in France, my hand broke up like this, and it was bollocks. Like, and I had a cast on, and I went up, and for whatever reason, thought I was going to plant 1,000. So I planted 1,000 Christmas trees
up on the farm.
Yeah, with a broken hand. So I was kind of shoveling, and obviously by the end of it, I had made it so much worse. I went back to Tallaght Hospital, and they were like, it hasn't healed at all.
Weird.
I was like, that's odd. So I had to get it rebroken, and I have a plate and wires and stuff in there now. So it's kind of just that, I'm injured, but I keep going type of thing, which is stupid as well. But that's just the mindset, I suppose. But that's kind of...
You channel that as you get older, though.
Yeah. So that's kind of what I kind of kept pushing forward and decided I was going to keep going at the cleaning company. And then kind of 2020 was the first full-time year. And I suppose from there, it's done its thing. You know, it was this right down, and it just came up, and it's just kind of went like that since then. You know, it's been...
What's the secret sauce? What happened in 2020?
I suppose that's when I first tweaked the subscription thing. Before that, I always knew the way the industry worked didn't make sense. Like, why do you have to ring this person every time if they're just going to get the windows cleaned anyway? Like, it was so clunky. And that's when I started to formulate the idea, and I kind of thought there has to be a way of just doing like a subscription service for this. Like, why do I have to ring Gary to tell him to see if he wants it done? I know he wants it done.
It's my pet peeve.
Yeah. Like, he doesn't even want, you don't want to be talking to me. You don't want to be talking to me. You don't want to have to meet me there. You're busy. You don't want to have cash for me. You just want the windows to be clean, and that's it. And I just want to arrive and clean the windows, do you know? And of course you've great crack with the customers when they're there and stuff, but ultimately our target market is busy professionals who just don't have the time. And that's where I kind of started to, the people who I was doing the work for were all a similar person, you know, house proud, had their own home, liked to keep things tidy and whatever. So it was kind of coming into then 2021 is when I went over to the UK to Pryor's Window Cleaning, Lee Pryor. So he has, it's kind of, I think it's England's biggest residential window cleaning company, and seeing how he did things. So they have a subscription over there.
How did you get in touch with him, or how did you go over?
I went to a cleaning expo in, it's outside Birmingham. I forget the name of the place.
The NEC?
Yeah.
NEC's crazy.
Yeah, huge.
I go over there for conferences and stuff. It's mental.
Yeah.
It's hard to understand the scale of it. It's like 18 football pitches or something.
Yeah, there's a bike show there as well.
Oh, smash.
But this cleaning expo now was like one little corner. Like, it was really, it was external clean, really specific.
Sounds like a great crack, yeah.
Oh, it was deadly.
Big buzz, yeah.
But he did a talk there.
I love when you're like serious. I'm like, no, Luke. Yeah, Sam's fucking crack, bored as hell.
For me, it was great. I was like a child going around.
Oh, look at that squeegee.
Yeah, come back with bags full of stuff. Like, but he did a talk, and the talk was book it and squeegee to £1 million a year. And remember, I was there, and I was literally like the love heart eyes. Like, yeah. I was like, this is what I'm talking about.
That's the dreamy business model.
Yeah, so I went up and I tried to talk to him, but he was swamped with people, and I was younger then. I wasn't really as, you know, I was like, I'll leave, I won't talk to him. But then it just stayed with me. So I remember I rang his office to speak to him a few months later, and he wouldn't speak to me. And I rang and rang and rang and rang and emailed and emailed and emailed.
I love it.
Eventually, and when you ring out of hours, I figured out that it goes to like a call answering service, and they wouldn't really know. So I kind of was like, oh yeah, I know Lee.
He's expecting me.
Yeah. Getting to ring me back. So one day Lee rang me. He's like, you all right, mate? And I was like, yeah. And just kind of told him what it was.
I love that.
Yeah, it was deadly. Like,
love that. That they're the stories, right? That's the bit it takes.
Yeah.
Those little things. Because like, anytime I hear these, I'm like, yes, they're the little 1%.
Yeah.
You'll go a little bit further. You won't just go, oh, well.
Yeah.
Can't get to it, Lee.
Yeah, because I knew it was, I needed to see it, you know. And he had, at one stage, he was doing consultations, but he had stopped. Before I even heard this talk, like, he'd stopped doing it because he's probably just busy. I don't know.
Paying the hole as well. Like, yeah. Consultations are paying the hole.
Yeah, that's what he was saying. And he said that he wasn't doing it anymore. And I was like, look, I'm coming from Ireland, you know. And
I'm already here.
Yeah.
Look out the window, Lee. That's me.
But so he didn't agree straight away and he was busy. And it probably took me another 4 or 5 months before he'd agreed. And I flew over and he let me sit with him for the whole day and ask him anything. And because I wasn't a competitor and I couldn't really be, he's in London, he kind of just told me everything. Like the guy in college, he was showing me his accounts. I seen everything.
Love that.
I'd say his head was wrecked. I was asking him just every question. And then at the end of the day, I think we were supposed to finish at 2 and it was 5:30. And he was like, look, mate, I'm going to have to wrap it up. And I was like, so then the next day I was flying out to Leith. So I was like, could I go out with one of your lads in one of the vans? And he was like, yeah, work away. I went out with one of his dudes who was out window cleaning and just seeing how he operated. And that was just a game changer. So I basically packaged what he was doing and started it in Ireland. And that's kind of where it really just took off, was a subscription-based thing. And it just works.
I think you're going to get a shed load of business out of this. I should have hit you up for an affiliate code. Yeah. Where do you service?
Greater Dublin area at the minute. So Dublin, within an hour of our yard, which is Tallaghill. So that will get us to Drogheda. So kind of South Loud, all of Dublin, Meath, Kildare, parts of Laois, like Port Laois, Port Darlington, Carlow Town, Wicklow. So that's our...
An hour a bit.
An hour,
okay.
Yeah. Mullingar as well is an hour and 4 minutes, as the lads have told me. That's not an hour away because they have to drive out. So it's an hour over our yard. So that's where we are at the minute. We're doing... That's for residential. For commercial, we'd go on, like we'd be in Galway, Waterford, we've been in Kilkenny, we've been all over for commercial because you'll be paid for the travel and stuff. Like a 3-bed semi-detached is going to pay you to drive down. Like, whereas
as much as they love your service, they're not going to pay you.
You're doing stuff with the government, you are paid for it. Like, so we're kind of nationwide that way, but we've started now a nationwide rollout for residential. So we're going into Cork, Galway, Waterford and Limerick.
Wow.
So we're kind of dealing with partners there to start with, before we would send the van down. Excuse me. So we're kind of going to build up a bit of a customer base and just trial it out. Mm. I think it will 100% work. I can't see how it wouldn't. The only thing is I'm worried about is I know Dublin. I know the areas. I know, you know, we do big leaflet drops and I know the areas not to do them. And in the city centre, there's no point because
too much like hard work. Yeah. It's a nightmare. Yeah.
So
we worked exclusively in the city and it was a nightmare.
Yeah. It's tough. It's really tough.
Even just getting around. So we used to, similar to yourself, we'd kind of have we'd drop a pin. So our office used to be Temple Bar and we'd have a circle and we'd go within that circle. And it was different for us because we were trying to go on foot. But it was a nightmare. It was between traffic and logistics.
Yeah, it's getting worse getting as
in
well.
And getting in and out. And it was just, essentially we were running a small hotel, but the rooms are all over the city. So like it's so many things. You're better off just to have a good niche and stick to it.
Yeah.
You're better, like the suburbs are so big. Like,
yeah, it's huge.
You're in and out there. Yes, the 3-bed semi-D is the 3-bed semi-D.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
Yeah, but you do 15 of them in the same housing estate is the equivalent to what you're going to get for this big snazzy job in town, you know, and none of the headache.
But you have to figure that out, right? You have to do the experiment. You have to kind of go, ooh, big contract in town. You go, I actually reckon we lost money by the time you factor in time.
When you break it down,
the lads got clamped. Whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know, it's all those stuff.
Yeah.
But like what you said there about expanding, that makes sense because you've got the model now. You've got the playbook. Okay, you can tweak it for different areas. Mm. But cities are cities more or less. You'll figure out the logistics if you get a local head to kind of go, do there, don't do there, do there, don't do there. Like you know the areas in Dublin going, they're going to have the financial income to do it.
Yeah, that's where the guy from Cork come up, the kind of one of the partners we're going to be using. And obviously be very, very careful about who you use. Yeah. And, you know, we'd like the staff we have are unbelievable lads out on the road. Like they're really good. Like I don't even want to call them window cleaners because they're not. They're kind of proper operatives, you know, they're out. And they're just like our two most recent hires was Carl. He was a manager in Aldi. And then we've Steve and he's a fully qualified carpenter's workforce. Wow. So these are good guys.
How do you get these people? Because that is the one thing I hear from people all the time, especially now, can't get good people.
Yeah, big problem for me as well at the start. Couldn't get anyone. Couldn't even get bad people. Couldn't get anyone. So it got to the stage where I was taking on guys and I was like, this guy's an absolute disaster and he wouldn't even stay. So like it was just tough.
I'm bad, he's worse. Yeah.
So I suppose it's a lot of trial and error and just spotting what things won't work, you know, like for instance, if CBs, I don't really do the hiring anymore. I've kind of, my managers do that, but they're now trained up on, if a CB comes in and they've worked in a warehouse for 10 years, don't hire them because they're going to be now getting into a van. They're used to working in a warehouse and real low pick rate and maybe arsing around. And I know this is stereotyping, but generally that's the story. Now they're in a van, they're the main person, they're dealing, it's really on the go. You're out. You know, it's not easy. Like
you have to have the owner's mindset. Yeah. I was talking about this on a different podcast yesterday. The owner, the guy asked me, oh, what's the number one thing you'd look for in a sales professional? And I was like, the owner's mindset.
Mm.
Because treat it like your own business.
Yeah. Yeah. Like they have their van. The lads have their van. It's their, like their little office, you know, they'll have it sparkling. It's only actually did a video on this yesterday of one of the lads' vans was there and it was immaculate and it was like cleaner than ever I would have my own van. And I opened the back and you'd eat your dinner off the ground, like real pride. Like, and
but how you do anything is how you do everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you have a cleaning company and you have a shit environment,
yeah.
Well, that means you'll cut corners somewhere.
Yeah.
You'll eventually start dropping the ball. It's like when I go into a nice bar or restaurant, you're there and you're like, oh, it's nice. And you order and you go into the Jack's and it's a kip.
Mm.
And you're like, I reckon the kitchen's the same.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And it's you know, pulling up to a customer's house, if they're looking at the window and the dashboard is full of crisps and wrappers.
It's the worst.
You ever see delivery drivers coming up and they have like dockets and it's like halfway up the glass? Like, and it's just rotten, it looks horrible. So that's a big thing for the lads. Every day they clean their van. And that's a non-negotiable. It's just done. And it's just better for everyone. It's better for us. It's better for them. It's better for the customer because it's just, start as you mean to go on.
Standards.
Everything's, you know.
Hold the standard. If you're not holding the standard for yourself, decline. Decline is inevitable because if you'll accept that.
If you leave it go for 2 weeks and then it's stuff will be grown in the back of the van. So like that's the kind of start. And then they're the, I suppose, the type of guys we get, you know. And because it's, as you said, the owner's mindset, like they're given their list of work. And whatever order they want to do it in, they do it in. It's,
okay.
They do their own schedule.
Right.
Whereas before we were doing their schedule and it was real rigid and, you know, they might live in Clondalkin and we'd have them starting down here and they're probably thinking, I'd rather start here or I'd rather start and finish close to home. Or,
yeah.
So
that's an insight there. That's great. Giving the power to the person working at themselves.
Because he's going to do it whatever way he thinks is best. And if he makes a balls of it, he makes balls of it, you know.
It's a choice.
Yeah.
I was listening to someone recently and they were like, they were talking, it was an e-commerce business and they were like, oh, it's really hard. And they were talking about how they solved their shipping problems. And they solved their shipping problems by giving the person who was buying an option.
Okay.
Do you want it by Royal Mail or do you want it by DHL? And their complaints halved.
Yeah.
Because you chose
them. Yeah, yeah.
You'd said, oh, you know, expectation setting, isn't it? Oh, it'll be there between 2 and 3 days, and if it arrives on the fifth day, you're going mental.
Yeah.
You know, if you pick 10 to 14 days and arrives after 7, you're delighted.
Yeah.
It's that, those little tiny details. That's a really interesting
It's just a
detail.
Little tweaks along the way. Like that was one we did. I remember when we first did that, I was terrified. I was like, how are they going to be able to do it? But it was only because we were doing 10 schedules every day. It was such a headache for the office.
Micromanaging as well. Like
trying to do everybody's schedule and get everything perfect. But when you actually hand that over, you're splitting the work in 10 different ways to each guy. So he's only getting one sheet and it's his own one. And he's thinking, right, I'll start there. I'll get me lunch. I'll head over here. You know, someone
and he knows his route.
Yeah.
He knows that road is a nightmare.
Yeah.
9 to 10 because there's a school there. Oh, that's good because I can do that and that. Like, they're the details.
Yeah. So then it just gives the responsibility to them, which they love. And even they might be on, they'll finish their work and they'll see, or they might have a job left and they'll see, you know, Gary's over here. I'm over here. Why don't I just take his job and he take mine? Do you know what I mean? So there's all that sort of stuff going on.
Yeah.
And that's just left to them. And if they don't finish the work, they don't finish the work. You know, that's just the way it is. It's, you know, if they don't get it done in the day, I mean, it'll carry over to the next day. Like, so it's that was a big kind of change. And that just gives them that, like, it's their van, it's their schedule, it's their, you know, it's our van, but they're obviously the designated driver. So it's kind of giving them, so they're not breathing down their neck every day, you know, you're
empowering them.
Yeah, if you're confident to do it, then you fire away.
That's part of the answer of how you find good people, right?
Yeah.
It sounds like you're empowering good people.
Yeah.
You hire good people, you empower them.
Yeah, and you kind of just leave them alone. And like, we get guys in from building sites who are used to getting the head roared off them by a foreman over, you know, his own deadlines and whatever else. You know what I mean? So this is kind of, and it just, we just have complete trust in them. Like, just, I was in a job yesterday, a student accommodation we're doing, massive, massive building. It's like, it's 9 stories high, and it's huge. And there's 2 guys there, and I met them on site. They told me what they were planning on doing. Whereas beforehand, I'd be arriving, like, this is what we're doing.
Yeah.
This has to be done this way. Now I'm like, right, what are we doing? And they know better than I do at this stage. So they're like, well, we're thinking we'll get the cherry picker in here, start here. This, I've chatted to your one, you know, whereas before they'd be standing there waiting for me to go and chat to the manager. And then, you know, so now it's just they're looking after. So it's
slows
like
everything down.
Yeah. They're like little mini project managers, and they're great. And the team we have are unbelievable, like they're just, the lads are great. Like every time, like we get a massive amount of kind of reviews on Google, and the main thing that always pops up, like I have a yoke that generates like a, you know, keywords in thing, and the main thing is always team friendly. You know, that's the, they're the things that people realize, they're kind of how good the guys are. When they ring the office, one of the girls would be, that's just the kind of whole point of the business is we're just a friendly, normal, you know, it's family run. You know, my sister Eve is the office manager. Sam's my brother-in-law. He's the sales guy. Like, it's, we're on my dad's farm, and that's the kind of culture that all the lads come in, and it's, you know, and it's real cringy to say we're a big family, but that's kind of, it's that kind of,
it's actually real. It makes my skin crawl when big tech companies talk about that. I'm like, oh, give me a,
at their pizza parties.
Pizza and beers, man. That's my, you've listened to the pod, you know, that's my hobby horse, pizza and beers. And you're like, that's not a family, man. You're just psychologically manipulating people to make them feel beholden to you. Whereas like, that's a secret sauce right there. Like, I think you've kind of answered that about how you hire good people is, you have a good environment.
Yeah, like, for sure.
If you have a shit environment, of course you're not going to hire good people. They know better. Like,
and it's just one bad apple on top of a load of other bad apples. Like, and it's kind of, it's the, if the environment is toxic, everybody else becomes toxic, you know, and it's just, it's a horrible place. Like, so, you know, you'll get guys in, or I keep saying guys, it's just because most of our guys on the road are men, but obviously we've women too. But like, you get someone in who doesn't fit that, and doesn't, like, all of our staff on the road, they're the type of people that get up early, get out. They want to be starting early. They want to be finishing early. They want to power through all the work.
Yeah.
Most of them don't stop. They'll just keep going, and that's grand, and they finish early, and they'd rather do that.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of mindset you need for that job, because you're out on the road. It's go, go, go. You get some people in and they go on to kind of, you know, go slower, and they're giving out about the traffic and about all the other things everyone else has going on. They'll let you know every problem. But the guys that we have are so good that they'll weed them out, you know. They'll even be saying to me, listen, your man, he's not going to last. Like, he's giving out about X, Y, Z.
Some people have a problem for everything and the solution to nothing.
Yeah.
And they're the people I try to avoid like the plague. I'm like, I always find it funny when I'm walking along in Dublin. Like, I was behind these two people this morning, and they were just moaning. I was like, maybe you're the problem, John. Yeah. Maybe the problem is you. Yeah. It's not the company. It's not the business. It's not the customers. Maybe it's you.
Like, if you look for a problem, you will find, you know, or if you look for something wrong with your job, you'll have a list a kilometer long. Anyone would. It's just, if you're all day you're focused on that, that's all that's going to keep coming up for you, you know? And then you look back through the CV and you'll see that they've had these other jobs and, it, you know, what's happened at each of these jobs that they eventually...
It's the victim mentality.
Yeah,
as well.
This happened to me.
Yeah. Are you someone that makes things happen, or does things happen to you?
Yeah.
And you can always, like, within a few minutes, I'm like, nah, we're not gonna get you out of here.
Yeah.
You're just not my kind of, and now I'm kind of like old enough and mature enough to go, nah.
Yeah. It's that victim.
We'll just leave you over there. Yeah. We'll just phase you out. I was in the gym last week and I had to laugh. The two girls were going in and out, and one of them was just finished the class and one of them was starting. And she was like, how was it? And you wanna, it was just a one liner, but it just stuck with me since. She goes, sure, it's as hard as you make it.
Yeah, yeah, brilliant.
I loved it. Brilliant. I was like, that's just one of those one-liner wisdoms you can apply to everything.
Yeah.
It's as hard as you make it. Yeah. Like, the classes are bloody hard.
Yeah.
But it's as hard as you go full steam ahead and you blow up after 30 minutes, or you go powering through and you steadily increase. Yeah. And like, I just thought that. I was like, That's one of those ones. I'm just going to keep that in my mind now. It's as hard as you make it, Gary.
There's one like that as well. Do you know Jocko Willink? Do you ever hear his name? Good.
I love it.
He just says good. Anytime, anything wrong, anything goes wrong.
Puncture, good.
Yeah, good. Yeah. So,
His Extreme Ownership book is one of the unbelievable, best books I've read.
Yeah.
I can kind of give you the summary. It's Extreme Ownership. Everything that happens is up to you.
Yeah.
And I think that's, I read that and I was like,
yeah, I've listened to it twice. It's I have brilliant. The Audible. It's brilliant.
I, that was one of the one books, read it during COVID and then bought the Audible and listened to it.
Yeah.
So like, I kind of want this just to sink in.
Yeah.
Because it's just one of those messages. You kind of go, everything is down to you.
Yeah.
For good and for bad. Even shit that happens to you that you have no control over. Mm. Absolutely zero. Because they're the things that can derail you. It's the stuff you never think that'll happen happens. You're like, oh no.
Yeah.
And you kind of get stuck in that kind of like, oh shit. But if you go, right, okay, this is a chance to become a better project manager or become a better people manager, like you with the back. That's a perfect example. Yeah. Most people would have went, not for me.
Yeah.
I'll go into a desk job and would have crippled themselves sitting down for the next 40 years. Been absolutely miserable. And it's waiting for their 2 weeks in Tenerife.
It was around then that I was listening to that book because it was Joe Doyle told me to listen to that. Well, he tells everyone to listen to it, but he told me to listen to it and listen to it. And there's one quote in it that he says, and it's something like, if your staff are acting up or they're not doing what you want, it's 100% completely your fault. 100%. And I remember that clicked with me because I was like, why isn't this dude working as hard as I? Like, you know, why isn't he doing this? Why isn't he doing this? And ultimately, I was like, well, it probably is my fucking fault because I have absolutely no idea how to manage this guy. Yeah,
exactly.
So that kind of, and he said, if you can't get down, he says something like, you need to get down into the weeds with them. So you need to get down into the weeds with this staff member, figure out what's going on, how can we fix it, you know, really get in there with them, try sort it out from, and then, you know, there comes a point then where you've been in the weeds with them for 2 months and they're not getting any better, they're probably not going to get better.
That's,
you know,
different, right?
So it's, yeah, so it's knowing when to, you know, not everything is, you know, ultimately you have to say, right, this is just not working out, you know, but it's kind of, to give it a chance, you have to get down there and get into it, you know.
So many problems I see in businesses are just poor communication. Expectations not set, clarity not been given, and then poor communication.
Yeah.
Like if you just look backwards, like you said there, if you go backwards and look down and go, okay, they're not doing the job properly, but were they showing?
Yeah.
Were they showing what good looks like?
Yeah.
Like what's good, better, best? What's the best case scenario? What's good scenario? You know, what those three, have they been shown what excellent looks like?
Yeah.
So more often, they've just been like, welcome, Gary. All right, here you go. Off you go. And you're like,
And then you're giving out to them because they haven't. Yeah. Like that was a big staple of my management at the start was me getting frustrated over stuff that hadn't shown anyone.
Yeah. You just assume everyone's going to be like you.
Yeah. And they're not, and they don't know how to do it. And so that was a big learning curve. And I remember it was my sister Eva, who's the office manager, and she's younger than me. And when we first hired a second admin, the first thing Eva said to her, Eva knew her, she was like, I hope you're really good at reading Luke's mind. And that's kind of one of the main parts of the role. And I was like,
you're like, oh God.
Yeah. Right. Because I'm obviously going in and I'd be like, where's the, and my head would be so fried. I can't even remember what I was asking, this sort of stuff. Like, so that was, it took me a long time to figure out that, you have to set, this is what you're doing. This is how you do it. This is what I'm expecting it. And I'm expecting it by Friday.
Yeah.
You know, if it's not done by Friday, let me know beforehand why, you know, this sort of stuff is, that took me a long time to figure it out, still figuring it out, you know.
Someone showed me something last week and it's brilliant. And I've started to write one and it's a Gary user manual.
It's so a what?
A Gary user manual.
All right.
Yeah. So a Luke user manual. So he has this user manual for him. And he gives it to people that work with him going, this is how you work with me.
Right.
And it sounds weird, right?
Yeah.
But it's like, he's like, oh, I prefer email to calls. I prefer this. I use this project management tool. These are the hours I work. Sometimes I do this. This is how the communication style I prefer. This is the, and it's like,
good idea. Yeah.
Oh, I saw it. And I was like, no, very rarely do you kind of go, no one's shown me one of these before. Yeah. And it was a user manual. I was like, that's brilliant. I literally sat down on Monday and went, okay, I'm going to write a user manual for the lads to work with me to go, okay, this is the communication style I like. This is the expectations I have. This is what I want. I was like, even for me to kind of think and go, how do I like to work?
Yeah,
it kind of said it was a really good self. Yeah, even if you don't have staff, even if you just do it for yourself to go, how do you like to work?
Mm.
It was one of those brilliant ones.
Yeah.
In fairness, it was Angus. I'll shout him out. Angus, who works with Ali Abdaal, he showed me that. I was like, that's brilliant.
I'm reading Michael O'Leary's book at the minute, or it's Matt Cooper's book on Michael O'Leary.
Very good.
And his he has something like that in when he was hiring a new executive assistant, yeah, I think. Yeah. And he had the job description is hilarious. Like he's like, needs to be able to work ridiculously long hours, like just this big long thing of what it's like to work with him.
Expectations.
Yeah. Yeah. And he was being 100% completely honest. Like,
obviously everyone knows who he is now.
Yeah.
But back then you mightn't have known. Yeah. You're like, oh, I thought this would be a candy 9 to 5 with a nice, calm, caring boss. Yeah. But if you get it, that's what you're looking for, happy days.
But that's, and I remember reading that and I was like, that's brilliant. And the only person going for that is someone who knows exactly what they're getting themselves in for. Mm.
Like, yeah. I was trying to find people to help work with me in the pod. And I was putting up ads. I was melting my head. I was like, you've got a big audience here.
Yeah.
Why the hell are you not advertising to them? So I wrote it. I was like, hey, I'm hiring, blah, blah, blah. And I got tons of applications. And the majority of them were brilliant.
Yeah.
Because they already knew the vibe. They knew the style. They knew what I wanted.
Yeah.
I just went from here to here because they knew. They knew huge what it was
as
like.
Well on social media. Because like, we've only really started on social media end of last year, maybe started this year. And that's another question you ask is, how are we finding staff? Social media is unbelievable for it because like that, they know, they've seen everything already. They're not just reading the job description on Indeed. Yeah. They're looking at us doing the work, what we do. So now we get loads of people, we're knocked down with people.
Brilliant.
Yeah, requesting like, you know, have any work, blah, blah, blah. So that's our last, I think our last 4 hires have been through social media. Instagram reach. Yeah, it's brilliant.
Nadia from Ashford Motors, who was on before you, she said the majority of her business is sold through Instagram.
Mm.
That's mind-blowing.
Yeah.
Like her platform sells cars that are worth 100, 150, 200 grand on Insta.
Yeah.
Like that's mental. Yeah. Like even just to say that out loud, whereas like a lot of people see social as like this fluffy thing. Oh yeah, we must do more social. What the hell does that mean?
Yeah.
They forget that there's like, you can draw a straight line between social and impact if you're smart about it, if you think, what's the outcome here?
Mm.
Like, do we want staff? Do we want customers? Do we want, you know, how you put, and it's the one bugbear I have is that Irish entrepreneurs are not great at telling their story.
Mm.
They're like, I will have people on. And I'll be like, where do we tag you? I don't have any social media. You're like,
where's the Yanks would have it?
Anywhere?
Yeah.
Like nothing? Like even on LinkedIn, you're like, no, it drives me mad. No headshot even. You're like, come on. Like these are successful people. And you're kind of going, yeah, I get it. Back in the day, you didn't really need it or whatever, or you've built a good business that isn't. But people think that gives an excuse. Oh, I don't need social media.
Yeah. Like,
at some stage, you might.
I think it's just the positives from it far outweigh the negatives. Like, I don't see any reason why you wouldn't want to be. It's what's it called? It's social currency. Like your
social just, proof as well. Like,
yeah, just know, getting out there.
People figure it. It is. Mm. It can be a toxic place. There's no two ways about it. Like, it can be a bad place. But like you said, the positives. Far away the negatives.
Like. Yeah, like it's huge. Like, and even we get stuff through like big companies that we're doing work for, and you'll be meeting with, you know, their main facilities manager who'd look after loads of properties, and they'll be like, seen one of your TikToks earlier today, and I'm like, that's gas. Like,
isn't it though?
Yeah, this guy would be like 55 or something, and he's like, yeah, seen you're out and whatever, and like you're chatting, it's mad.
Yeah.
Oh, so he knows you, and it's like he knows you personally before we even met him. And he's still inviting you out, which means he likes what he sees. And, you know, it's nearly like a deal done. He wants you there, you know? So it's
that's exactly
huge
it.
For us.
And he knows what he's getting.
Yeah.
He knows, okay, Luke seems like a sound lad. Oh, they do offices. Oh, class. Yeah. I never knew they did offices. Whereas most clean companies will be like, social media.
Yeah.
Well, fuck, we'll be on that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when things are grand, people don't really push themselves. Mm. But things won't always be grand. Like, everything is going to shift to the way you're moving.
Mm.
Things will be online only, subscription. Like, I lose hours per month, you know, ringing plumbers, ringing this, ringing that.
Yeah.
You're like, if I could just go online, oh, it's going to come to daddy. I can just book it and it's a subscription. click, done.
Yeah.
Not like calling, leave a voicemail, calls back, start. Oh, geez, sorry. Yeah, I meant to go back to you there. I'll get you a quote over. And you're like,
yeah, and it never comes. Like,
I want you just to tell me roughly how much it'll be. 200 quid, 2 grand, whatever. Mm. Just tell me, and then we'll go no go.
Mm.
Like the way you're moving, and I think people don't realize the next generation of people are just entirely digitally savvy.
Mm.
They have been born with a phone, they've been born with an iPad. They don't want to be like ringing 10 places.
Mm.
They want to go online, clean a company.
They don't want to be ringing anyone. People don't even answer the phone anymore. Like when I first started, you'd ring someone, they'd answer. Like, they'd answer their mobile. Now, I would say less than 50% of people will actually answer the phone. They just don't want it. They want to just go to voicemail and see who the hell is ringing me. Like,
But you're doing it so smart. You're leveraging into it. Mm. You're leaning into it. Like with the subscription, okay, I only have to do it once. Maybe I don't even have to do it at all. Mm. Unreal. Like what you're doing in this space, I'm so bullish on the whole trade space and the whole digitization of the trades.
Mm.
It's going to be huge.
Yeah,
and you're massive. Far ahead of the game.
Yeah, it's why I'm still aggressively pushing the whole thing, because there's so much more room and space for what we're doing now, but also a whole other, like I could list 10 other industries that are where window cleaning was before we kind of came in, and I would just, you know, you could wrap them all up.
That's where I would see this going with you. When I look at this, massive, I can see you nailing this. Then going, okay, we're going to do this for plumbing.
Yeah.
Carpentry, anything that's regular in your home.
Yeah.
Because when you look at your house, like we bought an older house, some of the new, some of the old, real higgledy piggledy jobby. Constantly getting people out to do stuff.
Yeah.
And if I could just like subscribe going, okay, once a year I want you to come through, like even the boiler guy, you're ringing him every year.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, geez, right. Oh, sure, I'll have to get out to you. So that'd be lovely. Yeah. If you wouldn't mind.
Coming from Athlone or something.
or like you ring up and what's the problem? It's like, if I fucking knew the problem, I wouldn't be ringing you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or they come out and they go, oh, Jesus. Oh, why was it done like that? I'm like, I didn't build it, mate.
Yeah.
I didn't build a house myself. I just want to figure out what's wrong.
Yeah. And that's just it. And people are getting less and less handy.
Mm.
I'd say maybe when Dad was growing up, everyone knew how to use a ladder. Everyone probably cleaned their own gutters.
Mm.
You know, even some of the older gents that we do work for would usually be up on the ladder doing the gutters. They're like, you know, Bridie won't let me up the ladder anymore. Like, and
she's doing right too. Like.
Yeah, of course. Like, Jesus, like 80 something rolled up a 20 foot in the air. Like, but them guys aren't there. I don't think people own ladders anymore. Like, it's kind of, it's all moving away from that. Like, even my dad didn't understand why people didn't clean their own windows.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to explain to him. And he didn't want, I tried to add him to the subscription. He was like, no, I clean my own windows. And he was doing this for years. And then I just added him and said nothing, right? And this is about a year ago. And he just lets it happen, says nothing. And he hasn't cleaned his own windows. Like, yeah.
The pride is like.
So he's like, I don't get it. And then he's like, oh, and the gutters are full.
Brilliant.
And I said, because we're in the country, so there's big trees all around.
We've the same.
Yeah, so like every 6 months the gutters need to be done. So he was out and cleaning, and I was like, "Dad, I'll just get that booked in for you." He's like, I'll do my own gutters again. Booked it in. We go, we do it, and right. he loves it. Like, but
the unspoken, like, you both save face.
Yeah, so he's as clean windows, clean gutters all year round. Doesn't have to do it himself. He can go and focus on it. Was that? That kind of mentality. But whereas new people are like, I just want someone else to sort it for me. You know, I'm like that. Like, first thing I did when I moved into my place was book a subscription with the cleaning company. I got I got someone in, a cleaner inside. We don't do that, but got a cleaner inside. Got all these things that I don't want to do, you know. So I just want to get stuff kind of handled because I'm so busy. I don't want to be even thinking about.
But I say this to people all the time, especially earlier stage entrepreneurs. What's an hour of your time worth?
Mm.
Oh, I don't know. Well, you should know.
Yeah.
Because you're probably doing all this stupid stuff and they're flat to the mat. They're under such pressure that they can't grow their business because they're under such mad pressure because they're working 24 hours a day, but they're doing stupid stuff.
Yeah.
Driving around the country to collect a part. And you're like, 4-hour round trip, collect something worth 20 quid.
20 quid, yeah.
But even just the recurring stuff of like, let's say your time should be worth like 250 an hour, say.
Mm.
250 or an hour. Anything less than that, outsource it.
Yeah, get someone else to do
it. But people think it's funny. And there's an Irish thing too of like, oh, sure, I could just do it myself. You could.
Yeah.
If that's what you're into. Or you could just hire someone to do it for you and then spend your time doing 250 or an hour jobs. That's like Dan Martell, very good US entrepreneur. His whole thing is buy back your time.
Mm.
That's his whole shtick. But it's brilliant.
Yeah.
Like, it is a very valid point. Like, you do not have time to be doing these other things.
Yeah.
Like laundry and grocery collection, all that. All the stuff is there now.
Mm.
It's just don't have like an ego or a pride thing about like, or thinking you're too big for your boots.
Yeah.
People are like, oh, why would you do that shirt? And you're like,
because I don't, like, the last thing I want to be doing after coming back after working 6 days a week is then having to do
clean your own windows.
Yeah. Clean my own windows, do all the laundry, do all the everything. Like, I couldn't imagine anything worse, you know? So it's just, that's all sorted for me and I can go in and I can say, lovely, you know?
You can properly relax.
Yeah.
Like, as you get older, you realize on a Saturday, you're like, Christ, just being an adult takes a lot of time.
Yeah.
Just being a grown up takes a lot of time. Yeah. And you're just like, I'm just trying to do that now. I'm trying to outsource as much as possible.
Yeah.
So you're just going, I don't want to have to think about it every time.
Mm.
I want to have like, think about it once, do it well once, and then have the system set up. I'm trying to systemize everything in my life so that like, I don't have to think about this. Yeah. Oh, where did I get that part? Oh, I better go.
Yeah, I'm huge on systems as well. Oh, everything.
Like, everything.
Yeah, it's big. Like it's, this sort of thinking is big like in the States, and it's big for like in the States, as in America, like say they'd have their pool guy, the pool guy come once a week, the gardeners come every 2 weeks, the windows are done, everything's just automated, and that's how it works. For some reason in Ireland, it's just not like that.
It's the thing we talked about, it's because it's such a pain in the arse.
Yeah.
Getting someone good and finding them, and then getting them on, and then getting them again.
Yeah.
It's, they don't have your standard of thinking. They don't have the subscription model.
It's clunky.
It's that thing of like, why it's not done is that it's not easy.
Mm.
It's hard to find good people. Like even like if you're trying to find a cleaner or something, you have to get recommendations and anyone good. Now, she's brilliant, but you won't get her.
Yeah.
Because they're so good, they don't move and people keep them. So like, I think that's why, but I think like, that's why I think when Anya told me about this, I was like, oh, that is just a genius idea. Because it's simple, it's straightforward, but it's not easy.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
Simple, but not easy. They're the businesses that you're going to go and I get it. I understand it. Going to be big.
Yeah.
Where does this go, Luke?
It goes big. You know, I kind of want to become like what's happened with us in kind of Dublin is we've kind of completely taken over that kind of residential space. You know, like when I was first starting, as I said, it was kind of 2-3 vans was massive residential window cleaning company. We're up to 13 now in a couple of years. Like, so we're huge in Dublin. And it's kind of now expanding that nationwide to become huge nationwide. You know, I want to be kind of, I wanted to get to the stage where someone thinks of window cleaning, they think a cleaning company like that instantly, you know? And I think in a lot of places in Dublin, it is kind of like that. I know obviously a lot of people haven't heard of us, but we're in pretty much every estate in Dublin at this stage, you know, at least one house. Cause we're hitting on nearly 3,000 subscription customers in Dublin. Like, so that's kind of, and we've another maybe 7,000 who just get once offs or other stuff. So that's where I see it kind of in Ireland. And then it's the UK. I don't see why if we can't get it proper. And reading that Michael O'Leary book at the minute, he kind of seen that and like an ecosystem. Like Ryanair, he didn't see it as just, he was flying people back and forth. He seen it as like an ecosystem for traveling, for booking cars, for hotels. Everything was in the one place, all of his kind of big data. And it's all done through that. I would see that as where we're kind of heading. I would think the plan is to be worldwide in the cleaning space. It's then going into every other home service there is, you know? So where I'm at the minute is I'm still building. Like at the minute, it's all these kind of things you keep hitting that you're like, right, as you said there a minute ago, you're doing all this stupid stuff throughout today. So like Sam is my main sales guy. Half his day is spent on things that shouldn't need to be done by a human being. It should just be someone clicks, books in, everything auto-populates, automatically schedules. Like it should be that once you click on the website, you know, a week later, a van arrives and there shouldn't be any human interaction. At the minute, it's coming in and we're still miles ahead of anyone else, but from what we want to do, it's not like, and it's not where it should be. It should be just completely automated, you know, and everything is scheduled right down to that guy who calls out on that fan was chosen by the system because he lives 5 minutes away. Like this sort of, that's the level I want to get to.
That's brilliant, Mike.
So we're building our own system to do that because the system we use now it's limited and we've run out of jobs on it and it's, you know, we're kind of we're just bursting at the seams and a lot of things. And we've kind of, this is our main system, but we've 30 other satellites because we've grown so quickly, I've bolted on stuff all over the place.
That's
and
the issue, isn't it?
It's like, just this big.
But that software system will probably that could be the big thing, right? We could be sitting here in 5 years and you're like, that software, I never knew you'd get 300 million for that.
Yeah.
Like it's, but yeah, I see this all the time. Like you're like, oh, but start off doing this, but you're solving a pain problem. So you're solving a pain problem for the residential customer. Now you're solving a pain problem for yourself. You just keep solving problems.
Yeah.
Like that's what the entrepreneur experiment is all about. Like you just keep experimenting, keep solving problems.
Yeah. And this isn't a problem we had a year ago. And it's, you know, and there was people telling me, why don't you just build a system or you do your own system? And a year ago, it was like, why would I do that?
It wouldn't make sense.
Service, yeah. Whereas now we've got to the stage where we actually have no choice but to kind of go on to that stage, you know? So that's kind of where we're at the minute. And like, for instance, I was getting something couriered into town a couple of weeks ago. I was in doing a quote for the Department of Justice and took their keys home and got a call saying, you've taken the keys to the roof. I was like, oh, geez. So I had to get...
That's how you get on a list.
Yeah. Yeah, cloned on the way home. Like, so I was like, geez. So I was like, I'll drop them in. And they were like, no, we need them now. Like, so I was like, right, I get a courier. So, yeah.
The armed response unit will be with you shortly.
So I went on to click a courier. I don't know if you've ever used it, this website.
It's I've seen them.
Amazing. So you go on. You don't need to talk to anyone. You don't need to ring. I'd never gotten anything couriered in my life. Clicked the size of the item it was a set of keys, where it was, what sort of thing would carry it, a motorbike. Like, you're just clicking through this thing, you pay, half an hour later, a bike arrives, you give them the keys, and that's it. And I just thought, that is amazing, you know? And
that's what it should be.
Yeah, for everything, you know?
The words that turn my blood cold, can we hop on a quick call about this? Mm. I'm like, oh, for fuck's
why?
Sake. You want a 30-minute call about something that could be a text.
Yeah.
Just tell me what you want.
Yeah.
We'll do it or we won't do it.
Yeah.
Simple.
So that's kind of, yeah, exactly. That's the way I'm going. And even for customers now, if they want to change something, they'll have to ring us, they'll have to email us. I just want them to be able to go in and change it themselves, yeah. You know. So there's all this kind of next stage that we're going to, and it's kind of building systems. And I want to get to the stage where I can literally just copy what we're doing now and paste it into any industry. Mm. I think that's really possible, because the only thing that's different is when one of my lads arrives at the property, he's getting out and doing something else rather than cleaning windows. Do you know? Everything else beforehand is the exact same. Mm. The way the customer books in, the way they pay, the way we interact with them, the way they're set up, the way they're scheduled, everything is the exact same, except when he gets out, he's picking up something else rather than a squeegee. You know, that's kind of where I want to get to, because it's all very similar, you know?
And I think this is one of the biggest areas of low-hanging fruit in the world. Like, people are always like, oh, AI and that. I'm like, fuck no. Yeah. If someone comes to me and they're like, this is this problem I'm going to solve, I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
That's such a huge, hairy problem.
It is a problem.
Loads of hair on it, loads of problems. But people forget that, like, so on a Sunday, I'll sit down and I'll map out my week. And a lot of stuff will be stuff that, you know, oh, I'll call the plumber. Like, even today, I was walking around town trying to find a battery for an alarm. What a waste of time.
Yeah.
Do you know? Yeah. But stuff like that, and I'll be on Sunday where I'm like, okay. And but if I could just have gone online, like, I called a plumber this morning and it was actually surprisingly easy. But, like, you know, I had to go, oh, what do you want? This. Okay. Hold on now. I'll put you through. You know,
yeah.
20 minutes there and you're like, okay, grand Monday. Whereas, like, if I could have just went down and went, I would have paid probably a premium to be able to go on plumbers.ie on a Sunday and go, here's my error code. Here's the problem. Yeah. Here's the time I'd like.
Yeah, there shouldn't need to be. And there's going to be, I think what people are terrified of is, what if they arrive and it's this problem? So this, like, all that stuff can be, like, we've standardized pricing. Mm. So a 3-bed semi is this price. And people are like, well, mine is a little bit bigger now than a standard 3-bed. And there might be one extra window.
Yeah.
The time it would take for us to go look at this house, do up an extra price, it might be an extra €2 or something. Like,
do
just
have a quote.
Yeah, like, that's our price, Jesus, just there.
I don't want a quote. I want it done.
Yeah, like, that's the price. It's like, you know, if yours is a little bit bigger, a little bit smaller, that's the price, you know. And it just works for everyone. Rather than us having to say, well, you send me over pictures and I'll quote it up that way. And it's
but
just,
you know what a lot of it is? It's cash.
Yeah.
The cash. The lads are afraid to come out of the cash.
Yeah.
Because, like, generally you ring someone up and you're like, oh, I have this problem. Oh, and like, cash job.
Yeah.
Bill was seeing that. Yeah. That's what it is, though, Luke. Yeah. A lot of that is like the lads are earning so much cash that they don't want to systemize it. But, like, they're going to go the way of the dinosaur.
Yeah.
Because people eventually just get sick to the teeth of just having this ball. Like, I'd pay an extra 20-30% if I didn't have to have that effort of, like, comes out, quote, the suck to teeth. Well, that's a bit different now. I'm like, the best trade guy we ever had, he was a dad of a friend of mine, Neil. And, like, Neil was just a legend. Neil would come in, we'd tell him roughly what the problem was. He'd go, keys, hand him the keys. Liam would come back, or Neil would come back maybe that evening, tomorrow. Keys.
Yeah.
He wouldn't break my balls.
That's what you
like, oh, that's a 3/4-inch pipe now, Gary, and all.
Yeah.
Legend.
Yeah.
But that's what great business is about. Yeah. Right, we need to get into a quick fire round because I've chatted to you so much. We've gone way over time. Right, let's get into our quick fire round.
Right.
What book would you recommend every entrepreneur should read?
I know you said one, but I have four.
Even better. Even better.
One of them, funnily enough, was Extreme Ownership.
Excellent.
Because of just responsibility. Second one is Sell or Be Sold by Grant Cardone. I know he's not everyone's favorite, but it gets into the whole sales and why it's so important. Third one is The 12-Week Year for Strategy.
I've seen this, but I haven't read it.
It's
good.
Amazing. Yeah. I use it every 12 weeks.
It sounds like my kind of thing.
Yeah, brilliant. And the fourth one is Rich Dad Poor Dad. So just general, you know, I think it's important for younger, maybe entrepreneurs to listen to that one and just understanding that you don't want to buy a Lamborghini with your cash. You want to buy a property that will generate income that you can eventually get your Lamborghini. You know, that it's just that whole thinking of just, you know, don't be an idiot, basically. So that's kind of, that's
don't be stupid. Summary, we just summed it up. Yeah. Spoiler alert. Don't be a moron.
Yeah.
What's something you'd learn the hard way?
That I can't do everything myself. Delegation. I struggled big time. I thought, I'll do that. No, look, you're not doing that right. I'll take it on. And then nothing was getting done. So delegation was huge. It's still something I'm battling with, is being able to delegate. But I'm getting a lot better. So, yeah.
Hopefully you're listening to the pod and you're feeling inspired. Maybe you want to do new things in your own business, or maybe you have that brilliant idea you've always wanted to bring a little bit further and see if it works. So why not right now? You listen to the majority of the guests in this show, and they've been helped by the local enterprise office at some stage in the journey. They have something for everybody. Whether you have that idea you want to develop, you want to get your products to new markets, you want to innovate your existing products, or you want to expand staff and premises, they have the supports to help. So why not today? If you want to start up or grow your business, then contact your local enterprise office today.
What have you sacrificed to achieve your success?
Everything in parts, you know, every part of your life, you sacrifice some bit of it. I suppose my health was a big one that I sacrificed through my injury. I, looking back, shouldn't have been working and doing what I was doing. I worked, it was kind of 6 years of, I wasn't training, I wasn't doing anything. I couldn't really, you know, and it's only in the last year I've come back training, I've come back doing that stuff. But my health was a big one. I was getting sick every month and I was getting the flu every month. It wasn't the flu, I was just,
burnt
had
out.
The shit knocked down me every month. Like, so, you know, health, holidays, you know, time with friends, time with family, you sacrifice a part of everything, you know. But I'm getting a lot of that back now, which is great.
What would you do today if it could be 10 million euro?
I was hoping I actually wouldn't ask you this one because I'm going to sound like a knob.
Perfect. This is my favorite question.
Yeah, I would invest it into myself, into the cleaning company. I was trying to think. It took me about 10 minutes when you sent me that. I was looking. I was like, you know, where would I get the best returns? And I genuinely think it would go into the cleaning company.ie is where it would.
It does sound like a knob. A lot of entrepreneurs should say that answer.
Yeah, I know. I was trying to think, and I was thinking, what about this or this? I was like, you know what? I'd love 10 million quid.
The honest answer. That's what I'm looking for. Like, because I'm looking for people to kind of give me their honest answer. Like,
yeah.
So like, if it's yourself, it's yourself. Like,
yeah.
There's no right or wrong answer.
Yeah.
What's something in your daily routine you wish it started sooner?
Journaling. So journaling every morning.
What does that look like for you?
So that looks like, first couple of paragraphs is how I'm feeling that morning, that and it's on my mind, that and, you know, from the previous day, just getting it out, getting from here out so that it's not playing on me all day. That'll be the first part. Second part then is something we spoke about is gratitude. You know, I'm grateful for my cup of coffee in the morning, grateful for my dog, Albert. I'm grateful for, you know, all the things that you're grateful for, grateful for the weather, grateful for all this sort of stuff, you know, right down to a granular level. And that's been a game changer for me because I've been so busy all the time that you just don't, you're not grateful for anything that's happening to you. You're just plowing on. So that's huge. And then it's into goals. So goals going forward, written as though they've already happened. You know,
that's a big one.
I'm so happy and grateful that, you know, we've hit our targets for the end of the year. I'm so happy and grateful that I've 1,000 houses under my belt. You know, all this sort of stuff is really powerful. So that's
immensely powerful.
Yeah.
And it gets hijacked as well by the kind of people online who are trying to sell you crystals.
Yeah.
manifestation, visualization, there is an unbelievable power to that.
Huge.
But it gets hijacked. It's very, very powerful.
Yeah. I've brought it right down to, like, I'm starting to use it now in going into a meeting, you know, like if I'm going, like last week I went into a meeting with a huge hotel, I was going to meet them and I just sat in the car and closed my eyes for 30 seconds and just imagined how the meeting would go. And, you know, I was going to you know, it'd be blah, blah, blah. And that's, I could see how it was going to go. And that's just naturally how it kind of flows then.
It rewires your brain.
Yeah.
Honestly, it rewires your brain. Like coming in today, I was super happy about these two podcasts I was going to do because I would visualize how they were going to go. I kind of had a fair idea of the two people I was going to chat to. And I knew how it was going to go.
Mm.
Because again, journaling is something I've done for a long time. It's definitely helped me through a lot of tough times in terms of when I wasn't doing it, I was trying to catch up with myself. I was sprinting ahead and it just led to like tough emotional times, mental times. When you get it out every day, it's mad.
Yeah, it's huge.
Like the power of it is crazy. And it sounds weird to go, oh yeah, the power of just writing something down a page. But if you do that day after day for a month or two,
yeah,
it'll literally rewire how your brain works.
Yeah. And the pen just keeps going and you kind of just keep going. And when you really, like on a Sunday, you'll do a proper bit of journaling where you're not busy, you've nothing else going on, and you'll sit and just write. And if you write for long enough, you'll just keep writing and stuff will just pour out. And you'll be like, oh, jeez, remember that? Yeah. And stuff even from your childhood will be coming up and you'll be like, yeah. And you just make these little links and you will always, always, always feel better after it, you know? So, yeah.
It's like a workout, right?
Yeah.
Never have a bad one.
Yeah. Yeah,
never sure. About it. You might struggle, but anytime I finish a workout, God,
yeah,
it's a fine workout. And people think, oh, journaling is a bit self-indulgent and people kind of scoff at it, but it's the clear writing is a clear mind.
Mm.
That's how I think of it.
Yeah.
If I can write clearly, I'll have a clear mind.
Yeah.
Like the other day, I had a day where just everything was scrambled. I sat down, wrote everything out.
Yeah,
the
it's
next
amazing.
Day was, I was, I'd say 30 times more effective the next day. Mm. And that sounds mad, but it is 100% true. So thank you for talking about that.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you 1 million euro. You can invest in one person or company. It is not Luke. Who is it?
Yeah.
Get you on that one.
No, I wasn't going to do it for this one. I do want to give Anya a shout out on this from the Smule Company because she gave me a shout out and she's amazing. But I don't want to say it again that I'd invest in her, but she's brilliant. There's one thing that I'm looking at a lot is property and kind of unusual properties and ones with kind of high yields. And there is a friend of mine, Aaron O'Flaherty, who runs the brokerage, who is a very good guy at putting deals together, property deals. And he is the type of guy who will take cash and make something of it. And you'll get your cash back plus a high yield on stuff. It's all property based. Like, but if I think if I gave him £1 million, you would be getting it back plus tenfold, you know? So it'd be Aaron O'Flaherty.
That's quite the shout out. I think Aaron can clip that and use that as his next ad.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's funny. We can often explain other people's businesses better than our own.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. Like I can always go, oh, Luke was on. He does this, this, and this, and this. And then they go, what's your podcast about? Well.
Yeah. It's an external
chat
view,
to founders. Yeah. You can always have clarity about other people.
Yeah.
If you start a new company in the morning, what would it be?
I thought about this one and one thing that would be radically different, because I could say, oh, we would have went into, you know, plumbing, subscription plumbing or whatever, but it's all very similar. But something I'd always would have liked to do is something that I can do from anywhere. So like I'm very much grounded in Ireland, you know, and I will be here because my company's here. I would have loved to do something. I love marketing, like really love marketing. It's a real passion of mine. I would love to do like a marketing agency or something like that, that you can do from, like you're going away to Spain, I'd love to be able to, you could do it from there. You know, I can work from anywhere, but everything is here, you know, and there's, with something like a marketing agency, there's a lot less stuff going on. There's a lot less, you don't need 13 vans on the road, you know.
Yeah, but every 21-year-old bro now has a marketing
agency. God, that's the only problem.
I was at an event recently, and they're all marketing agencies. I was like, what's going on?
Yeah, something that I could do from anywhere, I suppose, is what I'm
No, that's a dream. That's why I love content. I love media because you literally can do it from anywhere.
Yeah.
That's kind of my long-term goal, is to kind of have a hybrid life.
Yeah.
That's kind of my goal, is to be here some of the time and away some of the time. Yeah. It's just what I want to do. And I'm starting to kind of do that now by having these mini trips.
Yeah.
What do you believe that other people would find strange or strongly disagree with?
So I believe that the human kind of normal, you know, or what's taken as the status quo or the normal way of kind of living is so far below where it should be. And what I mean by that is that it's seen as normal to finish your work at 4 or 5 o'clock and just watch telly or TikTok all evening. And then the weekend you go for pints and you're hungover on Sunday and that's a rinse and repeat. I just think that that's to do that is so unnormal, you know, to the human body and to the human mind and everything it should be doing. So I just think there's like a kind of social standard of normal that isn't, you know, and it's everybody is capable of so much more. And I don't even mean in business, because not everybody can be a great business person. I just mean in life in general, you know, be more active, go out and do stuff, you know. It's just not, go for a swim, go for a walk, bring whoever out, you know, stuff like that. It's just, to me, that's living, you know. The whole, even though I'm big on social media, I'm never really on my phone on social media. I hate it. I hate being a consumer of it, you know, and constantly on it. So I just feel like everybody is capable of doing much more and having a much better life than they settle for, you know.
Like, that was invented in the industrial era when people had to make widgets in a factory.
Yeah.
That was it. Like, and we still do it that way.
Yeah.
It's mental.
Yeah.
And there's nothing that's sadder than I think, oh, the 9 to 5, punching the clock. You're like, that doesn't work.
Yeah.
We, like, finally people have woken up after COVID though. I think entrepreneurs knew this a long time ago. I think other people have now kind of gone, doesn't really make sense to sit in the car for 2 hours in the morning, 2 hours in the evening, does it?
Mm.
Why? Because that's how it's always been done. Mm. The worst words in the English language. We've always done it that way.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't have to be.
Yeah.
Right. What's the best thing you bought for 100 euro or spent money on?
So there was, I went to Vietnam. I love traveling, like, and I do a lot of traveling. And I went to Vietnam, and this always just stuck with me because it was the best customer service I'd ever got from anything ever. Like, and I was mesmerized by it. I did a food tour in Hanoi in Vietnam, and it was just me. No one else arrived for the food tour. And it was this guy who arrived to give the tour, and it was $40 or something. And I was thinking of this, and it's a weird one to say, but it was like 5 hours long, and it was just, this guy was amazing. Went through everything, brought me everywhere, brought me into his home at one stage to meet. I was chatting to his mom. It was just the maddest experience ever. And it was brilliant. And he was so, like, he just loved his job. Loved it. And he'd be looking at me when I'm eating it to see my reaction to the food. And
fast.
At one stage I got so full, I was like, I don't think I'm going to eat anymore. And he's like, oh, no problem, we'll take a break. So we went out for 45 minutes and sat down. And then he was like, you know, good to go.
He winded you for 45 minutes. Yeah. But I'm good to go again.
Yeah, so.
I thought you were going to say, shot a cow with a bazooka. No. You said Vietnam and I went on a weird tour. It's like,
oh. No, it was a food tour. But that always stayed because he was just brilliant. Just the utmost customer service. And it was his own thing. Like, he was only class. A young guy. So he was just really, you know, it's like you'd read somewhere that you just need to, you know, and it was just, it wasn't over the top around, and it was just brilliant. And it always saved me. And even afterwards, I still have him on Instagram. This is years ago, like, and he texts you all the time. How are you getting on? And all, you know, oh, he's brilliant.
I love people with passion. I don't really, that's what when me and my wife talk about our daughter and what you'd love her to do and things like that, I was like, to be honest, anything as long as she's passionate about it.
Mm.
I don't care whether it's art, music, business, anything. As long as she has an unbelievable passion, because too many people fall victim to just doing it because they should.
Yeah.
So it just, when I meet people who are passionate about anything, I'm like, I'm hooked.
Yeah.
Even if I'm not really into it, I'm like, I'm into it then.
Cause yeah,
like,
yeah, because they're into
just
it.
Just because the passion is so rare. What's your final piece of advice for every entrepreneur or aspiring entrepreneur listening?
So one thing that I always believe very strongly, and something that I see a lot of younger entrepreneurs, not even younger, maybe more, they're only starting out, it's just the problems that you'll face. And there's something, and I have a tattoo down my back in home, and it's a quote that my dad always said, is nothing is as bad as it seems, you know. So nothing is as bad as it seems. It never is, even though in your head and what you think is the ultimate fire that you will never get over, it isn't as bad as it seems, you know. And everything works out all of the time, you know. So that's something that I believe strongly. Even now, when just everything is falling apart, I'm just like, you know what, it's not as bad as it seems, you know. It's only window cleaning. it's not the end of the world, you know. It's kind of, that kind of mentality has got me through a lot, that I'm just, you know, it's maybe bad for a week, bad for a month, maybe it's 6 months, you're in the trenches, you come out the other side, you know. So that's huge for me.
I love that. This too shall pass.
Yeah.
Like, it's a neighbor of ours wrote that on his wall during COVID.
Yeah.
And I walked past it every day, and it brought me joy every single day.
Yeah.
So it's like,
my friend Aidan has that tattooed on him.
But it's true though.
Yeah.
Like, it's having that perspective though. It's about being able to zoom out and have that perspective. Luke, that was absolutely savage crack.
Brilliant. Yeah.
Where can people learn more about The Cleaning Company first of all, and then yourself?
Yeah. So we're thecleaningcompany.ie is our website, as the name suggests. We're on Instagram, thecleaningcompany.ie, TikTok, same again. We're quite active on those. We're planning to get a lot more active. So you can catch us on all socials. We're up there.
Brilliant. And we already talked about the areas you cover, Luke.
Yeah.
That was savage. Thank you so
much. Deadly. Thank you. Brilliant. Thanks, Gary.